Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the To The Net Hockey Show. He has been unbelievable this season.
What a save by Lundqvist!
They still have a long way to go until they get back on track.
I definitely have them down as a hands favorite to go to the Stanley Cup and win the Stanley Cup.
Well, guys, welcome to another episode of the To The Net Hockey Show. And before we get into things tonight, I just want to go over some quick things that have happened around the league. Did you know that Patrick Kane became the third U.S.-born player this season to reach the 300-goal plateau? And did you know that Brock Boeser of the Vancouver Canucks became the fastest rookie to score 20 goals, and that's for the Vancouver Canucks? So let's get into this episode, and as you can see by the title, the soon-to-be Belmont Park Arena, and this is where it becomes very interesting, and I don't think anybody was expecting this to happen for the Islanders, but it has officially been announced that the New York Islanders will be leaving Brooklyn and returning to Long Island. According to Jonathan Hilberg of the Architects newspaper, the Belmont Park Arena will hold 18,000 seats, and the arena is likely to connect directly with the Long Island Railroad's Belmont Park Station. Governor Cuomo has urged the NHL to allow the Islanders to play at the Nassau Coliseum in the interim after this season. The arena is expected to open in the year 2020, so it's not this year, it's not next year, it's 2020, but hey, good things to come. Definitely something for Islanders fans to look forward to. But now let's go into, why is this good for the Islanders? And many of you may be thinking to yourselves, whether you're an Islanders fan or not, you know, how can this benefit a team? You know, the team came from the Nassau Coliseum. They have so much history there. When they first moved, I know for a lot of the fans it was like, oh, you know, it'd be like the Mets moving to New Jersey. It's something different and it's a lot for a team, especially when a team's been at a certain arena for that long. So I'm going to go over a couple of things. Why is this good for the Islanders? And reason number one is there have been complaints about the seating arrangements as well as technical limitations of converting the Barclays Center from a basketball arena into a hockey arena. And for those of you who have not seen the process of that, I was always interested in that. I said to myself, how do they, you know, the Rangers play at Madison Square Garden, and obviously the Knicks play there as well, but how do they transform the arena? And if you see, and there's a time lapse, you know, it goes fast-paced, you see all the work that these guys put into that, into making sure that, you know, if they have a hockey game there and there was a basketball game, you know, a couple of nights before, how quickly they're able to do that, it's truly unbelievable. So I can only imagine if they're having technical limitations of converting the arena from basketball to hockey, as it wasn't already hard enough, so this must be quite a difficulty for them. But the Islanders have so much history in the borough of Long Island. That's the second reason there. And as I was saying before, when you've been in a place for so long, you know, you got to wonder how it could affect the team, you know, moving to a different – still in the same state, most people would say, but it's not – the same city, it's this, you know, the environment, the fans, the people, and are people willing to travel from Long Island to Brooklyn? I mean, most people will say it's not the farthest drive in the world, but you know what? It's that atmosphere and the environment that makes, you know, the Long Islanders like their team, like the Islanders. And so we're going to continue with this. And I wanted to get a perspective for you guys of an Islanders fan. And while he wasn't able to make it on the show tonight, my friend Nick, who is from Long Island, had this to say. He said, I think that this is a great opportunity for us to finally return home, and it gives our players the comfort they've needed. But most of all, I'm happy that the team will not have to change their name or move states. It's our team, it's the Islands team, and I think everyone would agree. And that's well stated by Nick right there. He wasn't able to make it onto the show tonight. I wanted to give you guys a perspective and maybe, you know, ask him a few questions of how he felt. But he did give us this statement, and I agree with it. You know, I'm a Rangers fan, and I would feel the exact same way if the same thing happened to the New York Rangers. It's just And he's right. I like when he says, you know, it's the Islands team. I think everyone would agree. And they've returned home, and the players like John Tavares and players who have played on that team, and most of the guys that are currently on the roster have played in Long Island for the Islanders. I think most of them were upset in having to move. I remember hearing a lot of them saying, you know, they weren't happy, but you can't control it. But so we're hoping that Governor Cuomo, we're hoping that the NHL will allow the Islanders to play at the Nassau Coliseum. That would be just – that would be something for them. Just get them back in the feel of the Long Island atmosphere. Get them in the field. Get them prepared and ready. So that way, where they're not just going back and all the pressure's put on them, they're going back to Long Island where this team started. I think that would be a very good thing for the Islanders to go back and get that feel for the atmosphere of Long Island and all the expectations. Just get that feeling back for them. I think that would be a good advantage for them. But we'll see what happens. It's all to the state of New York. They're doing everything they can, and it seems like I'm really excited for this arena to be built. I'm not an Islanders fan, but I've seen some of the pictures online. If you guys want to go check it out online, they have some of the pictures up of the architect presented some of the pictures, and what this thing is supposed to look like is truly remarkable and unbelievable. So it'll be really exciting to see what happens with this arena. I'm very excited to see what's going to happen, and I know a lot of fans are excited to see what is going to happen. And that's the, you know, the Christmas break's coming up, so that means there's a freeze on all trades right now. So the freeze on all trades is actually very interesting. So the holiday season is upon us, and this is an article by Mary Clark on SB Nation, and she goes on to say the holiday season is upon us, which means the NHL's annual holiday freeze is here. On December 19th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, the NHL will officially freeze rosters until 12:01 a.m. on December 28th, marking an eight-day span. This week's long roster freeze is a system built into the NHL's collective bargaining agreement. During this time, no NHL team can trade or move a player in an agreement that requires waivers. The following explains to us why this is, and it's simply stated, it prevents any players on NHL active rosters or injured reserve from being traded, waived, or loaned. The NHL's roster freeze is put in place so that no player may be moved during the holiday season. It's a nice gesture that ensures a player's job security during the holidays and keeps NHL teams from gaining a competitive edge via the trade in the lull of the week surrounding Christmas. I mean, could you imagine? I couldn't imagine being an NHL athlete or any athlete in any sport for that instance, and you know, you're trying to celebrate Christmas or the holidays with your family and just getting a phone call and saying, you know, we're going to be moving, you're going to go play for a different team. So I like this. I really do like this. It keeps everybody nice and safe and secure, and nobody's panicking on whether they're going to get traded, whether they're going to have to move their families. Because don't forget, you know, you guys, a lot of these athletes have families. So for this to be put in place by the NHL is quite remarkable, and I'm really glad they did this. Keeps guys safe and not having to worry about where they're moving. And I wish I could get somebody – I'm hoping to get somebody onto the show eventually that, you know, maybe could explain to us whether, you know, they're a pro athlete or, I don't know, a college athlete. You know, they may move colleges and they'll go to a different, you know, state, and just how that affects them. While they don't have families yet, but it really can take a toll on your body having to travel a lot and just having to move teams. I couldn't even imagine what that would be like. So again, well done by the NHL that this has been put in place, and it's been put in place for a while. So very well done. So now, as always, we're going to go into the scores for tonight's games. And we're going to start off with this. The Islanders go ahead and defeat the Winnipeg Jets 5-2. And that was yesterday's game. We'll give you guys yesterday as well. But this was, it's 12:09 a.m. This was Saturday's game. So here we go. We have the Islanders defeating the Jets 5-2. And we have the Boston Bruins defeating the Red Wings 3-1. The Florida Panthers go on and defeat the Senators 1-0. The Lightning shut out the Wild 3-0. And let me tell you something, this was an unbelievable game. I was actually watching this game and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. The Lightning, and while every team, you know, has its ups and downs, which is totally understandable, they came out, they were not crisp with their passes. I mean, usually everything's very fluent up and down the ice, but I got to give the Wild credit. Although they fell short towards the third period, the Lightning started picking up goals. The Wild shut down Kucherov, Stamkos, and that Nemestikov line, taking away their passes. The Lightning, I believe, had six power plays, and they didn't score on any of them. So well done by the Wild. Although they did fall short, they showed that they really can compete at a high level. So well done. And we also have the Hurricanes defeating the Buffalo Sabres 4-2. And the Rangers, don't forget, the Rangers are facing off against the Buffalo Sabres in that Winter Classic at Citi Field, the Met Stadium. I cannot wait for that. It's going to be a freezing cold game, but it's going to be an awesome game to watch as well. I got to love the outdoor games. So we have the Blue Jackets defeating the Flyers in a shootout 2-1. We have the Ducks blanking the Penguins 4-0. And we have the Maple Leafs defeating the Rangers 3-2. And I didn't, I did not get to see this game, but Austin Matthews, William Nylander, and Ron Hainsey all had goals. And for the Rangers, JT Miller and Jimmy Vesey scored the goal. And, you know, this is, I'm not going to say it's concerning for the Rangers, but you got to wonder where this season's going to go for them. They're 13-4 now. So seeing that it's such a close division for the Rangers, you got to wonder how, you know, two games doesn't seem like a lot to lose, but, you know, it is in this division. I mean, look at this. The Rangers have 42 points. The Islanders are tied with the Rangers with 42 points. The Devils are leading the division with 47 points. It's a close enough division where, you know, you lose two games, it's not the end of the world, but still, I'd like to see them get back on track. Not a way to start the going into the Christmas break with two losses, but it is what it is. But I'd like to see more scoring. And I noticed with the shootout, for those of you Rangers fans out there, the shootout for the Rangers has been has affected us so much this season. I mean, Henrik's great and all, but he's getting older, and in the shootout especially, I'm not going to say it's all his fault, but the scoring, something doesn't seem to click right. And please comment on my Instagram or Twitter. Let me know something, what you think is wrong with this on the shootout. And I noticed with other teams in the shootout too, my dad and I were actually watching the game. I believe correct me if I'm wrong, it was the Anaheim Ducks or another team we were facing. And we go into the shootout, and I say to myself, look at the lineup of guys the other team has. They have so many scores, so many guys that they can rely on to put the puck in the back of the net. And unfortunately, the Rangers just don't have that. Yeah, they start out with Zuccarello, who, you know, 9 times out of 10, he'll bury the puck. But then after that, the AV is just throwing out guys, and guys that I just don't understand why they'd be shooting when you have, you know, Rick Nash on there, or, you know, I guess they go by the percentages, but we just don't have that star talent. And it's unfortunate too, because I think it's going to bite us in the butt towards the end if we make it to the playoffs, because right now we're in fourth place and we're tied with the Islanders, but we're 4 points behind the Blue Jackets and the Capitals, who each have 46 points. So, you know, the divisions, look all over this league. The Predators are leading the Central Division with 47 points, but the two teams behind them have 46. So all over, guys, all over the divisions in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference, the only division where the first-place team has a lead that is tremendous is the Lightning. The Lightning are leading, have 54 points, and they're leading the division over the Maple Leafs, who are in second place with 45 points. So it's really crucial that every team, especially, you know, being a Rangers fan, they keep up the par. They just, the consistency factor, if they could at least go win 5 games out of the 10 games, that's better than not winning any games. But I'd like to see more consistency from the Rangers this season. But, you know, they're 5-3-2 in their last 10, so I'm not going to complain too much. They have 117 goals for, 104 goals against. So we'll see how the season continues to go for the Rangers. It has been an interesting one. At first it was a stressful one. I'm not going to bore you guys with all the statistics, but as you may know, the Rangers have had a bumpy road this season. Things have gotten a little bit better, but we're going into the new year, the 2018 year, and we will see how it continues for the Rangers. But let's get back to the score for you guys. we started off, we had the New York Rangers, and the New York Rangers unfortunately fell short to the Maple Leafs 3-2. We have the Oilers going against the Canadiens, and they defeat them 4-1. And on Patrick Kane's 300th career goal, unfortunately, the Blackhawks, it wasn't enough. They fell short to the Devils 4-1. And we have the Golden Knights defeating the Capitals 3-0. That helps the Rangers out a lot. We have the Dallas Stars defeating the Predators in a shootout 4-3. And we have the Colorado Avalanche defeating the Coyotes 6-2. So the Sharks and the Kings are still in progress. The Western Conference games, the Sharks are leading the Kings 2-0. And the Blues are in the third period against the Canucks, and the Blues are leading 2-1 against the Canucks. So there's a lot going on in this league, guys. It's so hard to keep up, honestly. That's why I'm really excited about the new year, is we'll maybe see things start to fall into place as the season progresses. But there's so many things that are going on right now. Jesper Fast is actually out now. We had so many good things to say about him. He stepped up majorly. Mika Zibanejad is back, which that helps the power play a whole lot for the Rangers. I mean, with the addition of Shattenkirk already on the power play, the Rangers, getting Mika Zibanejad back, especially in the center position. Now, I'm not going to slam JT Miller for this, but he did step up. I'm not going to get too critical about him on it, but he did come when the team needed him to, and he played center. And he stepped up. He did step up while Zibanejad was gone, but, you know, having Zibanejad back as the number one center, which is what we're paying him to be, is helpful for us. So we'll see how the season continues to go. And the Tampa Bay Lightning are just unbelievable this season. Now, a little bit of a sloppy performance tonight, but they're 26 wins, 7 losses, and 2 overtime losses. And it's unbelievable to watch them. It really is unbelievable. Vasilevsky had a shutout tonight. I mean, everything is just falling into place with them. And Steven Stamkos is leading the pack for the all-star captain of the Atlantic Division. And if you haven't seen my Instagram post, I posted a coin, a pin, actually. My dad got it for me. Just a reminder of that, how much hockey has grown here. I mean, for those of you Tampa natives, just think about it. Hockey wasn't even relative here. If you asked anybody, you know, in your school or any of your friends, do you play hockey? A lot of them would say no, but the amount that this city has grown as far as hockey, it truly is unbelievable. And I'm really excited to, you know, say that the city of Tampa, my city, and the city that we're from is hosting the All-Star Game. It's such a huge accomplishment for the Lightning and all of us here. So much to be appreciated here. And that's going to be pretty much it for this episode, guys. Not much to it. And just everybody, please have a happy holidays. Enjoy time with your family. Everybody, please stay safe. And this has been your host, Nick, and I am signing off. Thank you, guys.